Okay, today I'm going to pick up. We're going to talk about wisdom, the wisdom of Solomon, part two. This is part two. I'm not looking to rush through this. I'm not looking to take my time either. But there's just some things that, as I got into this, and as I was praying today and reviewing the message and working on it and stuff like that, there's some things that God kind of realigned in my thinking. But He also I just got this need to reinforce something and hopefully make sure that you guys understood it, okay? We started talking about it last week. Now, so far we covered, last week in part one, we covered how Solomon lays out at the very beginning what we're going after when we go after wisdom. And then, you know, so we first part of it was we're going after wisdom and instruction in order to perceive the words of understanding. We talked about that last week. I'm not going to labor on that tonight. But the second part, the second thing that we started last week and then we didn't quite finish is this second part, that if we receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, it will give us. Now, I changed this. Last week, I shared this a little bit differently, but this week when I was going over it, I changed it and modified it a little bit so that it was a little more accurate to what the scripture is saying and what I believe God wants us to get out of this part. If we receive the instruction of wisdom, now I want you to get this because I'm not going to re-preach most of this because, you know, I got into this in depth last week, but I do want to reinforce something to make sure that I communicated it to you clearly. And so it says here in verse 3, Proverbs 1:3, it says to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Okay, now to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. We're to receive instruction from those. Now remember that word instruction is the word musar, which means chastisement, it means warning, it means instruction, which could be just instruction. But it also carries the meaning of restraint. Brown Drivers Briggs defines that word instruction as discipline, chastening, and correction. And what I'm going to focus on is that if you receive the instruction of wisdom, which I'm going to say, if you do this in advance, if you open your heart and mind up to correction, to the correction, to the discipline. Discipline doesn't mean getting spanked. Chastening is more about getting spanked. And if you do discipline and correction, you'll avoid the chastening part of it. And that's, you know, and you got to understand something, you know, and this is New Testament. Some people think, they look at this and they think, well, God's not angry with us anymore. He's not. No. Hebrews talks about whom the Lord loves, He chastens. He chastens that son that He loves. And that word chastening there carries much the same meaning as this word here in the Hebrew, musar. Okay, so I want you to understand that God chastens us in order to save us from worse things sometimes. And the way that He chastens us, and this is my personal belief, I don't believe God initiates anything. He kind of just pulls back and lets us experience the consequences of our foolishness. And we're going to talk about this more later on, so I don't want to dwell on that too much. But what I want you to get is that if we receive, we take to ourselves, we walk away with, we get the correction and discipline. Discipline is about how we change our behavior, how we act, how we conduct ourselves. You know, how, you know, think of disciplines. Like, for example, I'm in a discipline now. I'm a project manager. And it's a discipline to me. In other words, there's things as a project manager that I do and I follow. When I was in the glazing trade, it was not just a trade, but it was also a discipline. It was something that I did things a certain way. And in order to do the job correctly, I had to learn the ways to do it. And I had to discipline myself to follow those ways. I wouldn't try and cheat the process. I always followed the process. And as a result, my jobs went a lot better. And I had very few jobs where somebody was dissatisfied with. I mean, to be honest with you, if they were dissatisfied with it, it was because they had an idea and it didn't turn out to be what that idea was. And so that was on them, not on me. I executed. I did my part. But you got to learn to discipline yourself to follow process, to follow ways of and steps of doing things. Because one thing that I've learned, a lot of people, you know, they hustle and they try to work real fast. And I've found in my life that if I'm trying to work really fast, I tend to make more mistakes. And I found this especially glazing when I was ministering. You know, I started Bible study here in Orange County way back when. I mean, we're talking a long time ago. And I was working for a glass shop here in Orange County. And you know, I had to work on Wednesdays, and I had to get out in time to be able to come home and get ready properly to have Bible study. And I sometimes would get into these jobs, and I would get nervous because this job, you know, a job was not what it was supposed to be. It was taking much longer than I thought it would, or my boss even thought it would. And so in doing the job, if I got anxious and I started trying to hurry, I always invariably messed up and made mistakes. And so I had to discipline myself not to get anxious. I had to discipline myself not to get pushed by the fact of time or anything else. And I found that if I stayed with my discipline of following the steps of how I did things, the jobs went smoothly and I always got done on time. But if I started getting nervous and apprehensive and I was trying to cut corners and get things done faster, you don't know how many times, you know, not a lot, but there was a couple of times where I messed up. And in that mess up, it was on me because I abandoned my discipline and I started just trying to rush and do things the way I wanted to do it and cut corners. And that's going to be important here in a little bit, but I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but on purpose here, because that's what really discipline is about. When you develop disciplines, like every night before I go to bed, I brush my teeth. Okay. And I do those things, and I it's to the point now where I don't even think about it. I go brush my teeth and I go to bed and I'm great, you know. And I don't, just because I'm super tired, I don't go to bed without brushing my teeth. I just can't. But, you know, there's a lot of times people do, and, you know, if you don't take care of your teeth later on, you're going to regret it, you know, and that's one of those things. But it's a simple discipline, and if you follow your disciplines, you have a lot better things happen for you. Okay, so this is the key to wisdom. This is it. What you got to understand is that wisdom, first of all, the way wisdom's going to start with you, the way justice is going to start, the way judgment's going to start, the way equity is going to start, is that it's going to start correcting you. So as you start getting to know wisdom, as you start getting to know justice, remember we talked about justice is the word tzedek. It means right or rightness, you know, or righteousness, or just, you know, just being just in the way you do things. You know, remember I talked about justness of weights and measures, and, you know, doing things right, doing things with integrity. That's, you know, and following that, you know, and that's justice. And then judgment is all about, you know, the fact that there's consequences and understanding those consequences and recognize having good judgment, so that when you look at something that's got the potential to cause you a lot of damage, or that could come back on you in a negative way, you realize, I'm going to correct myself from this. I'm not going to go this way because of that, because I don't want to pay the consequences. And some of those consequences could be criminal, and you got to understand that. And that's the, you know, that's critically important here. There's, you know, and that's something that you got to know. Now, equity, of course, is all about being straight, upright, and being fair, impartial, and so on. So these things are gonna start instructing you. They're gonna start correcting you. And so what you have to learn to do is that when you start getting corrected from the Word and from wisdom, and somebody says something to you that corrects you, that shows you that the way you're going is not the right way, and here's the right way to go. And obviously it's from the Word, and obviously it's God. We've got to learn to take that correction to ourselves and allow it to change our behavior and change the way we think and change the way we talk and change the way we act. I mean, that's our behavior, you know, and we've got to let those things get a hold of us. Now, I hope I made that clear last week, but this week I want you to understand that if you can't receive correction from the Word, if you can't receive correction in a message, when you know it's talking to you, but you blow it off, you're not going to walk in wisdom. And it's going to get even worse than that later on. As I get into this, you're going to see some severe consequences of not yielding to the instruction of wisdom. And so I want you to understand that always, if you're going to go after wisdom, and you should be going after wisdom, and you're going to be held accountable for whether you did or didn't. Understand that. You're going to be held accountable for whether you did or didn't go after wisdom. and understanding and knowledge and so on. If you don't go after it, you're going to be held accountable for it regardless. Now, if you're going after it, you know, then it's there's the these benefits of protection come into play because, you know, we're all ignorant on some level. But if we're going after wisdom, then wisdom becomes our protection in many ways. Now, and I'll get into all that later on, and you'll see this. But it isn't until we start letting wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity correct us, discipline us, because it's either you let it correct and discipline you now, or later on, you're going to experience the chastising of not having allowed them to correct you and discipline you. Okay, that's the consequence of it. And you'll see that as we go forward. And Proverbs is loaded with these consequences, and you need to understand that. And the whole purpose of it isn't to bring people down, it's to wake them up and to show them so that they can see that when they're walking into a grinder, that, you know, they can step aside and move and go the other way and not get ground down into nothing. I mean, that's the whole point of this is to show you, you know, the way you ought to live and walk so that, you know, you're protected to the degree that you can be. And I'm going to tell you something, that's a very high level of protection when you start really understanding it. And a lot of people, you know, they pray and they pray and they pray. And they think that because they pray and because they say they love God and, you know, they read their Bibles, you know, they think that they're protected, and they're really not. You're not really protected until you are in wisdom. See, you got to understand, covenant works based on wisdom. You're going to find out as we go along that there's a wisdom involved in how we ought to conduct our lives. And if we're following God's wisdom on doing it, I guarantee you, you're going to see some benefits that you never even imagined. And you'll see them. And most people give up on themselves way too soon. You know, I mean, I've heard some of you say, I mean, I have learning. I've heard people say, I have learning disabilities. You know, I can't, I just don't understand it when I get in. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Look at what it says here in the next verse, in verse 4. And I started here and I didn't finish it. So I'm going to pick up here. It says, the whole point of you receiving that instruction, you know, that correction and that discipline from wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity is to give prudence to the simple. Now, right now, for a second here, I want you to understand the word prudence there is that word discretion. I came in and added the verse down here so I wouldn't have to go back up and down all the time. But Proverbs 1:4 says to give prudence to the simple. The whole purpose of your correction and your disciplining yourself is so that you can gain prudence. And the promise here is that if you receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, then it will give you prudence. And that word prudence, remember, is the word discretion. And according to a dictionary on the web, and the one I saw didn't tell me who it was from, but it says that discernment, and I like this one best of all, says that discernment which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper, united with caution, the quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing offense or revealing private information. Now, people, listen to me. There are people that will just lay their whole life story out to people around them. And you know what? Stop doing that, because not everybody's your friend. You need to understand that, especially at work. They're not your family. They're not your friend. You need to watch out, because when you open your mouth and reveal, private information, or you just speak whatever way you want and cause offense, it can come back at you in a very negative way nowadays. And I mean, you can end up losing your job. You can end up getting reprimanded. I knew a guy that didn't know how to control his temper, and he would call people names and mock them and stuff like that. And he was a manager. And you know what happened to him? They ended up calling him into HR. He had to take anger management classes. They didn't even work. So they ended up having to lay him off. But in order to protect themselves, they had to build a case against him so he couldn't come back and sue him. And that's the way it is nowadays. I mean, people are dark on so many levels. And this person was just a harsh person. You know, I mean, I didn't understand where his anger was coming from, but it was pretty much, you know, it's just, it drove him. And you know, if he didn't get what he wanted from you, if you didn't snap to, and he wasn't even my boss. I mean, he would come in there and trying to tell me what to do. And I'd be like, dude, I don't work for you. You need to back off a little bit, because you're telling me something that's completely contrary to what I've been told to do. And, you know, and then he would just start going at it. He would just say things all over the place. And I just walked in love. I just didn't even let it, I didn't let it bother me. But there were people that finally, after a while, they quit. And then other people who finally, after a while, couldn't take it anymore and took it to HR and ended up getting him fired. And that's because he lacked prudence. He lacked that ability to understand that his mouth was causing offense, you know, and it came back and bit him, you know, and it was not easy on him. Not easy on him at all. So it's to give you prudence. That prudence, one simple word for prudence is caution. You know, to be cautious, to be aware, you know, of what you're doing and how you're behaving and how that may impact people around you. And this is important because the word simple there, to give prudence to the simple. The word simple there is the word pethi in the Hebrew, and it means silly or seducible. Brown Drivers Briggs defines that word pethi as simple, foolish, and open-minded. And open-minded is a kind of a person who will listen to anything anybody says. They're simple, which means they're easily seduced into or deluded into following something that's completely wrong. For example, I'll give you another example, and this happened at my work also. Way back when I was still in the support side of the business, I mean, we're talking 15 years ago, you know, I was in the support side of the business. There was these two guys that were not very good people, and they got this other young man hooked in to doing something for them. And what they made him do was set up a camera on his cubicle wall, that because he was right there in front of where the boss was, there all of our boss was. They wanted to be able to watch the boss and make sure that the boss, you know, that they, you know, they could screw around and everything, but when they saw the boss coming out, then they were all back to work. And they got busted for doing that. And he didn't even care. He didn't even do anything other than put the camera up for them. They conned him into doing it. He got fired along with them. And this guy was the sweetest guy. I mean, he was so nice, but he was seducible. He allowed people to come in. He should have said, no, I'm not doing that, man. I'm not going to lose my job for you. You find some other way to do it. And probably should have went and told the boss that they wanted to do that. And so, you know, but what happened was is that he caved to the pressure, and he lacked that prudence, that ability to see that this where this was going to go for him. And he ended up losing his job over it. And this is how people are sometimes. They're so simple-minded in the sense that, you know, that they're wanting to please people. They're, you know, and they feel weak, and they're not, you know, they don't know how to stand up for themselves. You know what? When you receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, I guarantee you it's going to give you that prudence, that ability to make good judgments and be able to say, hey, this is correct, this is proper, this is not correct, and this is not proper. Those guys never even, I was sitting right next to this guy, right behind him. They didn't even bother asking me because they knew that I would have said, get lost, dude. Man, I ain't doing anything like that for you. What's wrong with you? And probably would have told the boss if I'd have known about it. But it turned out that way. And so people can be easily led by the nose if they're not careful. And this is what the discipline of correction does for you. It gives you the ability to recognize when that's going on, and gives you the ability to discern, to judge critically what is right, what is correct, and what is proper. Amen? And so it goes on to say, to give prudence to the simple and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. The word knowledge there is the word da'ath, which means knowledge. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as knowledge, perception, skill, discernment, understanding, wisdom. Okay, that's from Brown Drivers Briggs, and they define it as knowledge, perception, skill, discernment, understanding, and wisdom. So in other words, they expand out the meaning of da'ath. But the strict meaning of da'ath is that it literally can mean cunning and knowledge, to be sharp minded, to be able to cut to the chase, to get right down into what's critical, to be able to have that critical thinking. You know, that's really important. In our lives, man. Sometimes I've known people that because they didn't have that cunning, that sense of understanding of what was going on and the consequences, found themselves in places that could have cost them their lives. And it was only by the grace of God that it didn't. But you know what? You can't walk around and violate wisdom and think that you're going to be okay. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I've known ministers that were men of faith that prayed, and they would pray for people wherever they went. There would be miracles happening in their ministry. And I know one in particular where this guy would go after preaching at night. He would go out and eat a steak, a huge, thick steak. And you know what? He almost died. They had to do a quadruple bypass surgery on his heart to clear his heart valves out so that he could live. And I'm telling you right now, that messed up his ministry for quite a long time. I've known people that without that ability, that perception and that discerning, man, that cunning of recognizing the dangers involved in what they were doing, have been severely injured and damaged in their lives because they weren't paying attention. And believe me, as a young man, I almost paid the price just like a lot of others. And thank God that, you know, by the mercy and grace of God, I didn't die. I didn't die, or I wasn't permanently crippled because of some of the stupid things I've done. But see, to a young man, knowledge and discretion, you know, and that word knowledge, like I said, it means that knowledge, that kind of cunning, that ability to cut through and see what's right and valid. And, you know, as I got older, I started being able to do that. I started being able to walk into situations and see exactly what I needed to do in order to prevent, you know, lots of problems, you know, even, you know, violence in some cases. And you have to do that. You know, I mean, it just God, you know, if you start yielding to that, to the correction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, it will give you prudence. It will give you knowledge. It will give you discretion. And I love knowledge. Knowledge opens up your brain to be able to understand. Da'at, for the word knowledge, da'at is a very powerful word. It's a very encompassing. And that's why Brown Drivers Briggs translates it, or, you know, interprets the word not just as knowledge, that's the first meaning of it, but also perception, skill, discernment, understanding, and wisdom. And you know, when you look at the definition that they have, that they actually have, I took out knowledge because it was there after the semicolon, after skill, knowledge again, discernment, understanding, wisdom. And I took that out because it was just too repetitive. But you need to understand that knowledge, that ability to know, to understand, and to reach in and grab what's going on in a clear way. That's really critical, man. I mean, college right now teaches most people to regurgitate information. It doesn't teach them how to critically think. That's the problem with education for the most part. I mean, all the way through high school, you're taught to just regurgitate information. To truly learn something sometimes, you know, especially when it gets beyond math, you know, simple mathematics, or it gets beyond just, you know, let me put it this way, arithmetic, and it gets beyond just learning how to read. You know, when you start understanding and you know, I mean, I remember back in sixth grade, I started off in sixth grade. I had a reading comprehension level of eighth or ninth grade. I can't remember now. And I wasn't even trying, but I could read a story and be able to understand a lot of what was in it. And that was because I was a reader. You know, I was a reader all my life. And so when I read stories, I picked up on a lot of things that were going on in the stories. And so I was able to do that. And so when I went to school, I was able to transfer that over into what I was reading in school. And that's what you need to do. A lot of people sit there and read and they don't get it. They just kind of read through it and they don't get it. They read through it and they don't get it. It takes time, I'm telling you that. But I'm also telling you that God will give you that knowledge. He'll give you, even in your own youthfulness and in your own simplicity, He'll give you that prudence, He'll give you that knowledge, and then He'll give you that discretion. Wisdom will give it to you as you go after it. And you know, a lot of you may not think that you're very, you know, educated or whatever. Or some of you may think you're super educated and that you know everything already, but you don't. Wisdom doesn't come from just knowledge. It's an application of that knowledge. It's knowing how to apply it. And when you look at what it says in the second part of verse 4 there, it says, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. That word discretion there is the word mezema, which means, typically it means a plan, usually evil. That, because the way the word is used typically is for like an evil plan, which is like a machination, which is plots and schemes. But sometimes it's used as good, which is, it in that sense, it means sagacity. And Webster defines sagacity as quickness or acuteness of discernment or penetration, readiness of apprehension. the faculty of readily discerning and distinguishing ideas and of separating truth from falsehood. That's a very powerful thing. And that can start as a young man. As a young person, you can start that and start walking in that, being able to have that discretion, that not just to get information and facts, but to be able to take that apart and understand it and apply it. And see, that's wisdom. Wisdom, those two things are basically two of the fundamental foundations of wisdom is to be able to take knowledge, tear it apart, put it back together again in a way that can be applied in the situation you're in. And then on top of that, you look at prudence as being that ability, in a sense, to know what's correct and proper, to be able to be cautious in how you're conducting yourself, behaving and speaking, so that you don't cause offense or reveal private information. There's things that we have to watch out for. Amen. And you know, there's things that God's told me to do that I don't tell people about because it's nobody's business. This is between God and I. But when the time comes, if I need what he's told me to do, if I'm doing that when the time comes, it's gonna be something that's gonna be very, to have the potential to do a lot of very positive, powerful things for me. You know, it's in that sense, amen. And you know, if God tells you guys to do something, you know, and it's something that, you know, not everybody should know about, guard that, because God doesn't always want you telling everything that he's telling you, you know, because as a matter of fact, you know, God gives secrets to people. And if you can't keep those secrets, then, you know, he stops giving you secrets. You know, I mean, you got to learn to keep the secrets of God. You know, when God says this is not for everybody else, it's like John when he was, you know, when he was writing the book of Revelation and God took him up to heaven and he heard the seven thunders, you know, and he was about to write and the angel said, don't write that down. You know, that's not for anybody else but you. And I mean, I'm telling you, one of the first things that I'm going to do when I get to heaven is say, what was the seven wonders, man? I mean, the seven thunders that you heard. John, I want to know, because up there, then it'll be okay to know. But, you know, down here, no, God's saying, no, that's not the way it's going to work. And so John couldn't write it down. He had to seal it up and keep it to himself. And God's going to do that. And see, some things in our lives should be sealed up and kept to ourselves. I know a lot of people think, well, you know, I want to be able to share and I want people to, you know, and I want them to be part of my life. And, you know, people can be a part of your life, but you got to be careful what you share. Amen. Just understand that. And so, you know, you need to understand that correction, that instruction, that correction and disciplining, the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity will give you prudence. It will give you prudence and it will give you knowledge and discretion. Those three things come out of that. Those three things are both lifesavers and they profit you. They will profit you in life. I'm telling you straight up, they will profit you in life. Because you, when you become a person who can take knowledge and receive knowledge, and then you can learn, you can tear it apart and learn how to put it back together in a way that it's effective, that you can put it to work, you're going to be worth a lot. You need to understand that. You're going to be worth a lot. And you know, you'll get as far as you want to go. But God, you know, that's something that it comes from us hungering for that. Amen. Now, the next part here, Proverbs 1:5-6, it says, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Okay, so I want to separate 5 and 6 out. Now, you have to understand 5 in order for 6 to be of any value to you. All right? It is a sign of wisdom that you increase learning. Listen to this. It's a sign of wisdom that you increase learning. It's a sign of wisdom that you increase learning. All right? Now, there are things in life that, like, there are some things that I want to learn. You know, there are some things that I want to learn. You know, that I'm going to get online and take some classes and I'm going to learn them. But they're for me. You know, they're for my benefit. There are some other things that I'm taking classes on that I'm learning now. And there are some other things that I'm researching on a regular basis so I can learn those things. I'm constantly learning. As a matter of fact, I have a reputation at work as being the person that can learn things. I mean, their attitude is, I can learn anything. Well, I don't know that I can learn anything. There's a lot of math stuff that I still gets by me. But the things that I can learn, I do learn. You know, and I don't have a problem with tackling learning new things. I've always, my mindset is, the more I know, the more valuable I become. That's my mantra at work. The more I know, the more valuable I become. The more I help people, the more valuable I become. Because some people, they whine and cry about, you know, everybody giving them, you know, the work. And it's because they get it done. They have the character to work through it and get it done. Well, it's not fair, man, because there's people over there sitting there laughing. Yeah, but listen to me very carefully. When it comes time to let people go, those are the ones that are going to be leaving, not you. And I'm going to tell you something. For somebody like me, I've been at my work for 17 years. I've been through about 20 layoffs, and I'm still working there. We've had layoff after layoff in our country, our company, and I've been through like 20 layoffs since I started working there, at least 20. And I'm still working there. As a matter of fact, I knew at one time that I was going to get laid off by this one person that came in. For some reason, she took a dim view to me because I had to go on vacation. I had spent money and I had to go. And they had just changed and brought her in. She was a senior director. And I couldn't be there for the meeting because I was on PTO. And I just had to trust God with it. But because I went on PTO, she took it personally and was going to cut me loose. And, you know, we were cruising along and everything. My boss came to me and said, hey, we're going to, Bill, you might as well get your, you know, get your, what you call it, ready. And I said, okay. And then I started thinking about it and I started praying about it. And I said, you know, Lord, I'm not really done with this job. There's so many things I could do here. I'm asking for you to give me a lateral move so I can get out of this department and get into another department. And God opened up the door. And as a matter of fact, I ended up where I'm at now. I actually was applying for something completely different. And I'm where I'm at now. Because of that. And you got to understand, man, that you got to understand that that person was going to let me go. God opened up the door for me. I said, I'm not done with this yet. I don't want to start over someplace else. I like where I'm working. And Lord, so I'm asking for you to open a door for me to another place in here. And he did. And I've been there ever since. Another 7, 8 years, I think. 8 years or 9 years, maybe. And so as a result, you know, God took care of me. But you know what? It's because I had value. I was constantly growing, constantly increasing my learning. All right. Now, look at what it says here. A wise man. The word wiser is the word chacham. And it means intelligent, skillful, or artful. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as wise or wise man. Skillful in technical work. Listen to that. Skillful in technical work. Wise in administration. Shrewd, which means smart, learned, and prudent, which you know, synonyms for it are cautious and practical. And see, you got to understand, wisdom, God will teach you how to be wise in technical work, wise in administration, shrewd, smart, being able to cut into things and understand what's really going on. Amen. And then just to have that learning, that information backing you up. I mean, you don't know how many things I was able to get changed at work because I took the time to learn what I was given to be over. And I learned it to the point where I understood how many people needed it. I mean, I went into it deep. It had to do with accessibility. And I went into it and I saw the percentages of the people that actually need it and use it. And I just went for it, man. I learned it. And as I learned it, I got into a situation at a meeting, you know, where a person was like, well, and he was another senior director. And he was like, well, you know, this is not that important. I said, I beg to differ. And then I rattled off all of these percentages of people that have some type of, you know, at any given time, you know, have some kind of disability. And then on top of that, you know, he was talking about this one thing that it wasn't working right. And he said, well, we fixed that. I mean, that's fixed. I said, no, it's not fixed. I'll tell you what, go there and do what I ask you to do. And he did it. I mean, I wasn't rude or mean. I just was straightforward and said, look, just do this and I'll show you. And he didn't. And he couldn't do what he was supposed to be able to do. And you know, of course, it put him in his place. And I didn't want to do that. But it was something that we were, you know, we were getting sued over this stuff. And so, you know, it's at the point now where it's like, look, dude, you got to fix this. And, you know, you got to stop blowing this off. This is going to become important as time goes on. And so he apologized. And, you know, he said, you know, we'll get it fixed. And it opened up the door for me to be able to work with those guys. And it was because I had this background of information that I was able to lay out there and say, hey, look, you know. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You may not think you can remember stuff, but you'd be surprised as you just take it in. And just kind of meditate on things. You take it in and think about it. Take it in and think about it. You'll be surprised how much you actually will learn to retain. It's your brain is a muscle, people. You know, nobody is given just this is all they can ever learn. It's a muscle. And you can retrain that muscle to work more effectively for you. But if you're going to walk in wisdom, you will have to hear and increase learning. Now, that word hear there is the word shama, and it means to hear intelligently. And that means with the implication of attention and obedience. Well, Pastor, I'm ADD. I can't do that. You know, I don't have the ability. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you something. I know some people that are ADD. I know some people that are ADHD. And I know for a fact that when they're interested in something, they can apply their attention. So you've got to make a decision. How important is this to you? Amen. How important is this to you? I got a knock on the wall from my wife, so she was probably agreeing with me. Hopefully. But I wasn't even thinking of her. I was thinking of somebody else, actually. So, to hear, that takes obedience. That takes being, you know, that you got to pay attention and then increase learning. So, we should be increasing our learning. We should, specifically of the word, you should always be increasing your learning of the word. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? Start reading it. Go to the Old Testament. Start reading through the Old Testament. Get the history. You know, spend some time learning the history of Israel. Read the book of Acts. Spend some time learning the history of the early church. Amen. Read some books if you want to. You know, find somebody that, you know, makes sense to you, you know, where you can understand how they write and read after them. That'll help you. You know, not everything I read makes sense to me. And so sometimes if it's something that's important, I'll wade through it until I get it. But if it's something that's not important, I'll toss it aside and I'll pick up something else that I can read that makes sense to me, that helps me grab it. And I do this all the time. There's some things that I'm learning right now that some of the ways that it's explained doesn't make sense. And so I just keep going until I find somebody explaining it in a way that makes sense to me. And that's what we have to do. We've got to increase. And that increase, that word increase means to add or augment. And also as an adverb, it means to continue to do a thing. So if we increase learning, that's an adverb. Learning is not just a noun. It's not just a noun. It's a verb to learn, okay, to increase learning. And that means that you got to continue to do it. It's not something that you ever arrive at knowing it all or just knowing what you need to know and you're okay. We've got to stop that. We should be people who are hungry to know God, hungry to know His Word, hungry to know the truth. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. It's work, people. And sometimes I don't feel like it any more than you do. You know, I mean, and it's my job. But it's as a believer. I don't see when I approach the learning with God, it's not as a pastor. It's as a believer. I'm coming to God and I'm learning stuff. I'm meditating on stuff because it's for me. There are some things that recently I just read and I meditated over and over and over again. Part of it was out of Titus, part of it was out of 2 Timothy, and I had been reading them, and I kept finding myself reading it over and over and over again, not because I didn't understand it, but because there was something in it that I needed to grab, and it's still there. I mean, I still am going back to it and looking at it because it's important. You know, I don't understand everything right away any more than anybody else does, but I continue to apply myself to it until the understanding starts coming to me. See, a wise man will hear. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So, now these seem like they're completely different things, but they're really not. A wise man, somebody who's already wise, somebody who already knows, somebody who already has understanding, who already has knowledge, they will hear. They are listening for what's out there, for what others are saying, so they can increase their learning. I mean, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I mean, when I'm around, sitting around listening to people talk, and we start getting in the Word, you know, we start talking about the word, I'm more apt to pull back and listen, because why? I'm looking to increase my learning. I'm looking for gold in all of this. Amen. So as I do it, I want to add. You know, I listen so I can add to what I know, to what I understand. You know, and if I'm always talking and I'm always the one, you know, throwing it out there at everybody, I'm not growing in my learning. And so there are times when, and even when people say things that are not correct, it doesn't bother me. It's not like I feel like I got to correct it. It's one of those things where I, even from that, I learn. Because if it's not correct, I find myself, that doesn't sound right, but why? Why doesn't that sound right? And then I analyze it, and then all of a sudden scriptures start coming. And, or sometimes even, you know, it doesn't sound right, but I'm listening to it, and there's a truth in it, but I'm like, well, wait a second. Okay, how do I get that? And I keep digging at it until I understand the truth of it. You know, because sometimes it's part of what others have learned and they've grown in is built around a perspective that might be different from yours. And so sometimes it requires you stepping outside your box so that you can step into the box of other people and understand where they're coming from. Now, I mean, obviously, sometimes we're sold on things that we know to be true, that we believe, and we're not going to violate that. And that's understandable. And because I'm like that too, so don't feel bad. But so a wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Now listen to this. Even when a wise man understands, look at, because this is talking about a man of understanding is still that wise man. A man of understanding, you know, is that understand, the word understanding there is the word bind, and it means to separate mentally or distinguish, generally understand. Webster defines it as, it is the faculty by means of which we obtain a great part of our knowledge. It's a faculty. Faculty means just the ability. It is the ability by means which we obtain a great part of our knowledge. Understanding something, you know, is how we gain, you know, a great part of our knowledge. And I'm going to tell you something. When I used to work out in the glazing trade, when I first started in it, I didn't even understand the vocabulary of a glazer. You know, when I first started, they had to teach me the vocabulary. And some of it, I actually had to, you know, look at what they were saying and understand what they meant. I mean, I had to visually grasp it as well as intellectually grasp it, you know, just technically grasp it. And it took time. And there are some skills that I had and I still have. They're ingrained in me now. There's some skills that I developed in that trade that when I first watched how they did it, it made no sense to me. I didn't understand. But when we would go set the mirrors or install the glass, it was always right. And after a while, the more I watched what they were doing, the more I began to mentally meditate on how they were doing it. It suddenly made sense to me, and I found myself being able to replicate it, to do exactly what they did, and be able to use that and put that in my toolbox as a skill that I had. Amen. And you'll be able to do the same thing. You know, people don't realize, like, I don't know how much time you spend on the computer, but some of you ought to spend some time learning Word. Some of you ought to spend some time learning Excel. Some of you ought to spend some time learning PowerPoint. Because the more you learn these things, the more you expand your skills, the more you become valuable where you work. Because everybody is required to know some of these things. They're required to know Excel. They're required to know Word. They're required to know PowerPoint. It's just normal now, you know? And there was a time when it was a specialty, you know, where only some people knew how to really use these different softwares and not everybody else was required to know it. Now everybody's required to know at least some, to, you know, fundamental, medium. But there's some people that are advanced, man. You can do some stuff in Excel that's just crazy amazing. And you can do some stuff in PowerPoint that's amazing also, you know. But I mean, these are skills, and you just continue to understand what you're doing. Amen. Now, a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. And the word attain there literally means to procure. I mean, you know, Strong's defines it as to erect, i.e. create, by extension, to procure. So in other words, they will go after to gain that wise counsel. and especially by purchase. In some cases, being willing to spend the money for the information. You know, knowledge is valuable, and you don't know. See, you got to understand, until you put your money where your mouth is with knowledge, and you start putting money out for knowledge, you may not recognize the value of what you're learning. But when you put cold hard cash down to gain the knowledge of something, to gain or expand your knowledge of something, it becomes valuable to you, and you're willing to purchase it, you know, to do what it takes to get there. And then it goes on to mean by implication to own. In other words, a man of understanding owns, or he'll even purchase, or he'll obtain wise counsel. Okay, he'll procure it. Amen. Brown Drivers Briggs just defines it as to get, acquire, create, buy, or possess. Amen. So that word obtain there, the word kana in the Hebrew, is it carries a lot of facets of meanings to it. Amen. And so it's really an intense thing. But what's he going after? Wise counsel. And that's just one word. The word wise counsel is the word takbula, which means properly steerage, as a management of ropes, guidance by implication of plan. You know, the people that have understanding, they will spend the time to go out and pay for further guidance. They will go after more guidance. And why? So that they can put together a plan. And the word steerage there, you know, as a management of ropes, the whole thing of steerage is that, you know, if you're like on a ship, you know, sailing ships, you know, the old school, what these were referring to, you know, they used ropes and they used the sails in order to guide the ship. They would set the sails a certain way, and it would give them the ability to go in a long arc, and it would help when they had the rudder. It wouldn't fight them. And the wind, instead of working against them, could end up working for them. And so they spent that time. And so a person who's going after that, how do I get to where I want to go from here? How do I get there? That's counsel. That's the kind of counsel that they're talking about. And I'm going to tell you something. In our company, you know, we have hired people from the outside to come in and paid millions of dollars for them to come in and help us get from point A to point B, because we're not sure how to get there. You know, I'm currently working with a group right now that is helping us get to a certain place in what we're trying to accomplish that's going to be beneficial for us. Amen. Really helpful in an organic way. Organic means something. I'm not going to define it right now, but you got to understand that you know, how much is that counsel worth to you? You know, what are you willing to do to go after it? And you've got people around you. I bet you don't even know you have people around you that have a lot of understanding about how to get things done and give you an approach and help you kind of get an approach so that you can at least weigh it. I mean, sometimes to attain wise counsel, you're not always going to do exactly what you're told. But, you know, when you go out and get it, somewhere along the way, something that you learn clicks for you. And when it clicks for you and you understand it and it makes sense, then all of a sudden you have the path to where you want to go, and you can set yourself to that path and then get to the end result. And that's happened to me before. I mean, there's been things even in the ministry where I had to get guidance on, and once I got that guidance and I understood what I was doing, I was able to pull us out of, you know, the brink of losing everything to the point where, you know, we were doing really well. And you got to understand that. You got to understand that these things are worth listening to, because there's value to that. Amen. So it's a sign of wisdom that you increase learning. And even when you understand something, that you continue to go after that counsel, go after more direction. You know, never think that you know it all, because sometimes we're blind to things, or we may not have the full amount of information, or we may not see everything that's coming our way. And so we need that help. Amen. We need that help. And so sometimes just talking things through and, you know, listening to when people, there are times when people come to, you know, people will just sit down and start talking to me about things. And, you know, I listen to it. I don't always move on it right away, or I don't move on it at all, but I listen to it because there's value in listening, because somewhere along the way, it's opening up a door for me to see things from a different perspective and help me to really look at what I need to do. You know, what do I really need to do? And sometimes, that counsel, it's valid, but it may be the thing that pushes you towards what you really need to do. So always be willing to do that. And then, of course, you know, the verse 6 is talking about understanding a proverb, an enigma, words of the wise and their riddles. I'm not going to spend much time on that because, you know, it really gets into what, you know, sometimes people say things and it's like, what does that really mean? You know, I mean, the word proverb, we already know what that one is. It's a concise, forceful, expressive maxim, which is a general truth or rule of conduct. We're going to run into those all through the book of Proverbs. So you're going to need help when it comes to this. And the more you spend your time learning, the more you spend your time. And one of my recommendations, if you really want to get the benefit of Proverbs, I would start reading it through. And during this whole teaching time, you know, just read through the book, maybe a chapter a day, you know, and then just finish it, start over again and read through it. And while we're teaching, while I'm teaching it, you know, you're going to get the benefit of, as you go along, you're going to get the benefit of all of Proverbs starting to have an influence and an impact on what you're hearing at that moment. And it'll help you. It'll help you actually gain more information. So that's just one thought. Maybe you'll do that. Enigma is something that's it's the word enigma is actually the word melitza in the Hebrew, and it means an aphorism. And an aphorism is nothing more than a pithy observation that contains a general truth, such as, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's an enigma. Don't fix it. Also, a satire, the use of humor and irony or exaggeration or ridicule to expose and criticize people's stupidities or vices. You know, and particularly in the context of contemporary politics and other topical issues. Now, this comes out of the dictionary. I think this comes out of the dictionary, but for the word satire, I don't remember what dictionary it got it out of, so I can't tell you, but it's used that way. Sometimes it's to wake us up. You know, sometimes, hey, stupid, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, kind of stuff like that is to wake us up and think, why are we working on something that there's nothing wrong with? You know, and seeing it for what it is. Riddles could be a puzzle or a conundrum, you know, which could be a confusing or difficult problem or question, you know. And that's something that's important to us. You're going to need wisdom. You're going to need understanding. You're going to need learning in order to break down things that run around this whole thing of conundrums in our lives. You know, problems that we face or questions that we have that we need to get answered. You know, if I'm just going to tell you, if you look at your life as a problem that needs to be solved, make sure that what you're trying to solve for is really a problem. If it's not a problem, don't try to fix it, okay? And see, a lot of times you're going to hear a lot of things coming from voices outside of you trying to tell you what you need to fix or what you need to do. What you've got to sit down and do is think in terms of, God, what do I need to fix? What are the things that I need? What are the problems that I need to overcome? And let God kind of take you through that journey, that process of understanding those things that are going to help you, that as you go to work on them, that you didn't even know they were a problem, you didn't know they were an issue, or they were holding you back, or they were blinding you to the things that, you know, there's open doors for us, and we can't even see them sometimes because we're blinded to them. And that's one of the things that, I mean, from Revelations 3:8, where it talks about there's a door open that no man can shut, you know, I've opened a door before you that no man can shut, and God's given me that scripture before, and it's like, I mean, it's a puzzle to me. It's been a puzzle to me, and I've been meditating on it, and I always thought in the past, I always thought that it was a door that He's opened for me to go through, you know, for something in the future, or that He's going to open for me, when all along, it's right there in front of me. And all I got to do is pull myself back far enough to recognize what that door is and then go through it, you know? And, you know, it was a trip because it was a shift in perspective. And when I made that shift in perspective, it opened up all these possibilities to me. And sometimes that's what a conundrum is. It's something that you need to have a shift in your perspective in order for you to see, you know, what's really there that you got to deal with. You know, because sometimes we're focused on the wrong things. You know, we think that we're, I mean, There's so many things I can focus on right now that I don't want to. But, I mean, we could look at our lives, we could look at ourselves and think that we're so messed up. And we're really, you know, we're not really messed up. There might be some areas where we need to refine or redefine. There might be some areas that we need to realign, you know, get it on the word, get some practical wisdom from God, and it'll put us right in the right path and move us forward. You know, sometimes, you know, we over-exaggerate what's wrong. And God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to get specific. Is it a proverb? Is it an enigma? Is it, you know, is it a word of the wise and their riddles? Is it a conundrum that you're facing that's causing you to, you know, blanket everything that doesn't need to be blanketed? And that's what, you know, increasing in the learning and the understanding and the attaining of the wise counsel sometimes answers the real question rather than what you think you need. All right. Praise God. Now, this one's pretty simple, and I'm gonna do this one and we'll stop. Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is where we start to gain knowledge. And this is something that's really important to us, people. The word fear there is the word yirah, and it literally means fear, but morally it means reverence. Brown Drivers Briggs defines that word yirah as fear, terror, fearing, and then fear of God. And then they add respect, reverence, and piety to that. So if a person is in sin and they're living their lives outside of what they know they should be living for Jesus, then, you know, we need to be fearful. We need to have some legitimate fear of God. But if you're doing your best to walk with God, that means for you that it's respect, reverence, and piety. In other words, you show respect to God, you show reverence to the things of God, and you show piety in your daily life. You behave as if God is right there with you, and you're living that respect on a moment-by-moment basis with God. And I know that's not easy. Believe me, I know that's not easy. But, you know, we've got to learn that, because this is the key to the beginning of knowledge. When we really start giving God his place in our lives, it becomes the first thing. Now, the word beginning there isn't the beginning in the sense of, it isn't the beginning of the sense that it opens up knowledge. It's not where knowledge starts seeping through. It actually means it's the first in place, time, order, or rank. Okay? Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as first, beginning, best, or chief. In other words, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. The start, where we start with knowledge, is that we have a reverence and a respect for God, a reverence and a respect for Jesus. And we live our lives with that reverence and respect constantly on our minds and on our hearts for God. In other words, when you're out there in the street, you're going to find yourself catching yourself in areas where it's like, you know what? That's outside the reverence of God. You know, I mean, somebody cuts you off and you want to cuss them out. You don't do it. Because why? Because the fear of the Lord, the reverence and respect of God, and your piety becomes more important than what that person did. Amen. And that's critical. That's critical to us, because it's how we live God in our lives. That constant state of respect, that constant state of reverence of the things of God, that constant state of piety. And that's not easy to achieve, but it's something we got to work towards. We got to start moving towards that. Amen. And it's the first part of knowledge. In other words, you can't go anywheres with God until you've begun to respect and reverence God. And you show that in your daily life. You show that in your behavior. That's what piety is about. Piety is about showing your relationship with God in your behavior. And God knows, man, body of Christ, we're not doing that. I mean, we're doing some stupid things. We're doing some very wicked things. We're doing some things that are arrogant, you know, and the way we treat people and the way we talk, you know, and total disrespect of God. And that's got to change. And so as we give ourselves to that, we're opening ourselves up to this knowledge. And that knowledge is that word da'ath, remember, which, you know, it's the beginning of that knowing. It's the first step. If you want knowledge, the first step is start reverencing and respecting God and living that in your daily life. Amen. And of course it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools. And that's the word for fools is the word evil. It's the word we get evil from. And it means to be perverse, figuratively silly, from the Vine's Old Testament dictionary, it's the word fool. This person generally lacks wisdom. Indeed, wisdom is beyond his grasp. In another nuance, fool is a morally undesirable individual who despises wisdom and discipline. When anybody, child of God, I don't care who you are, the moment you don't think you need to give yourself to learning wisdom and going after wisdom, you're a fool. And you need to understand that. You've identified yourself as a fool because you don't want to be disciplined. You don't care about wisdom. And the word despise there literally means to disrespect. Brown Drivers Briggs defines that word, the fools despise wisdom, but fools despise wisdom as to hold in contempt, hold as insignificant. It's not important. It doesn't really matter. I love God. That's more than enough. I believe, and that's more than enough. No, it's not. It's not enough. The demons believe and they tremble. Jesus said, you know, if you're going to follow him, you got to take up your cross daily and follow him. He laid down some very strong things that we are called to do. And one of these things is grow in the knowledge of God. You know, grow in that knowledge. Amen. It's time for us to do that. Now, I'm going to stop here and we'll pick up on this next week.